You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the SBS On The Money podcast for this Monday, the 25th of August, 2025. It's a day where the Australian share market rose, but only just. The S&P ASX 200 up 0.06%. We'll have the details with George Baburis from K2 Asset Management soon, and he'll tell us what he's telling his clients also. But first, it is National Scam Awareness Week, and the ACCC says while the number of scams reported fell in the first 6 months of the year, their value rose significant. And AI-powered scams are in the sights of banks. So to tell us more, Hannah Kwon spoke with Jenny Patterson from the Centre of AI and Digital Ethics.
Well, scams are becoming more sophisticated, and they're sophisticated in two ways. One is that the scams, because they use AI, are getting better at impersonating well-known celebrities or the voices of loved ones or even institutions such as banks, telcos, even regulators. So AI is making the scams more believable. But the scams are also getting better at pushing our buttons, at making us anxious or emotional in some way. And when people's emotion is heightened, their judgment, all the learning and resources that they've been exposed to earlier go out the window because it's an emotive response. And that's part of the problem with scams, that it's an emotional response that's being triggered, and people don't stop and think when they're worried that their money is being stolen or their loved one's in distress or they're in a new relationship or they can get a good deal from an investment.
Yeah, when you say that emotional response, in what ways does AI sort of lend itself to tapping into that?
Well, it makes AI lends itself to tapping into that because it makes the content more believable. It makes the language more persuasive. It makes the voice more believable. But AI, we can also, it's also possible to use AI for emotion detection, which means the scammers can be reading the emotion of the person as they are scamming them and responding in real time to those changes in emotion.
When you say that emotion detection, do you mean like through the words that the person is using?
Well, scams work on a couple of things. So you can have these long drawn out scams. So investment scams and romance scams often rely on building a relationship with the person who's scammed so that they become very trusting and therefore part with their money. But that building of the trusting relationship is very deliberate, and often the scammers are in fact reviewing the transcripts, using the insights from technology to review the transcripts to see what sort of prompts and suggestions get a reciprocal reaction in their victim. And when they're doing real-time scams, so the scammer that rings up and says your money's being stolen from your bank account, you need to act now, or the scammer who rings up and impersonates a child or a loved one wanting to be sent money, again, AI can both impersonate the voice of the scammer, but it's also possible to use AI again to give some insight into the emotion in the victim's voice to just see if the scam is working and to see what sort of cues and prompts encourage that emotional response.
And what can people do to be aware of this and combat this to prevent this kind of thing from happening to them?
Well, there's two responses to concerns about scams, or three actually. First one is if it seems too good to be true, it probably is. If the offer you're getting online or from somebody seems really alluring, perhaps stop and think. The second one is just take a breath. If you're being told you need to act quickly because your bank account is being hacked or your child's in need, just take a breath. Have a think about that. Don't send any money quickly. Just take a moment to pause. And remember, a bank won't ring you and ask you to provide bank account details. So you should ring the bank, or if it's your child, ask them some questions that perhaps indicate really is your child or loved one. So just pause, take a breath and pause is a good advice. But the main advice is this, is that new laws in Australia, our scams prevention framework says that it is the banks, the platforms and the telcos, or at least it will be when this law comes into effect, need to themselves take steps to reduce the impact of the scams. So individuals have some responsibilities, but so will these entities that are being used to facilitate, they're not part of the scam, but they are the sort of gateway to the money flowing in the scam and the scam being amplified, and they will have to take steps in response to scams. And we're already seeing banks starting to do that, and increasingly we will see platforms having to do that.
That's Jenny Patterson there from the Centre for AI and Digital Ethics. Let's take a closer look at the Australian share market now, because the S&P ASX 200 hit a record high early in the session, eased from those highs, closing up 0.6%, 0.06% rather, so round that up, 0.1%, 8,972 points. More sectors ended lower than higher. That's despite that slight gain in the 200. The material sector performing best, the worst performing sector, financials. And if we take a quick look at the best performing stocks, Megaport up around 13%, Digico Infrastructure 10% stronger, Ansell, which we'll talk about in detail in a few moments, up 10%. Worst performers included those like Computershare down 5%, EVT Limited 14%, and Reece Limited had a really poor day, around 16% off. So for more on the day's market action and to find out what he's telling his clients, I spoke with George Baburis, the head of research at K2 Asset Management. George, so at one point today, the Australian share market hit another record. It pulled back since then. Can you give us a run through, though, of what's driving consumer sentiment? And are you concerned that we may be set for a pullback?
Yeah. Hi, Ricardo. Yes, the valuations are quite expensive, fully valued, you could say exuberance, given what's priced in. So they're pricing in future earnings quite accommodative going forward. And a lot of that's to do with a few things, moving parts. That is a lower rate expected from the RBA, not too much lower, but nevertheless going to be lower rates. Lower rates out of the US and some pathways that the volatility we saw earlier this year is well behind us. But without a doubt, the companies are doing the heavy lifting, the big four banks. And as of today, the miners and the energy companies doing a bit of catch up because they're a bit more better valuations. But in whole, it looks like a bit of exuberance, again, repeating that word. The sentiment may be getting ahead of itself. A bit of a pullback will be anticipated in the next month or so. And as we sort of lightly said off air before we came on, it's like the phenomenon exuberance of the Boo Boo Dolls. There's a bit of a runaway craze going on and the sentiment's run away. You could say it's not quite like that, but the sentiment is running quite hot for these equity valuations, but some form of pullback, but nothing major or a correction is what we foresee, again, with a lower interest rate outlook in Australia and the US.
Yeah, so that lower interest rate environment in the US, we heard from Jerome Powell, he spoke at the weekend in the US. Is the market really becoming increasingly confident that there will be a rate cut in that September meeting, and how much of that is already baked into prices?
Yeah, it's a good question. So Jackson Hole Symposium, the economic symposium once a year from the Federal Reserve. It's a three-day economic symposium. This is where the Federal Reserve gets out there and makes these key speeches as it did a year ago. So remember, starting point very quickly, 4.25 to 4.5% is the Fed Funds Reserve. That's their cash rate. That's much higher than the Europeans at 2% and Australia at 3.6. So they gave good guidance that there will be pretty much all priced in the markets thinking in September. And we envisage three or maybe four or 75 basis points or 100 basis points in the year ahead. That's accommodative. That's accommodative because they've got the dual mandate of employment, full employment. And while core inflation has been an issue because of the tariffs, it looks like corporate America is passing those through, protecting their margins. So therefore, they're looking at a pathway that this will land at a good level, and it's positive, and hence the US market was quite strong Friday night, which again drove the sentiment again in Australia. So those accommodative words by the Federal Reserve Governor is quite key. So lower rates for the US, it's got, again, they're much higher than the rest of the world, and that's going to be driving the largest equity market in the world one year forward.
Okay, what about here? Reporting season rolls on. Which one caught your attention today and why?
Yeah, many delivered, but the one I'd highlight is Ansell. Ansell's obviously hospital glove wear for right around the world. It's really a good indicator for corporate America. For example, their sales are up 24% organically when you strip out the currency, which is in their favor because of the weak US dollar. But there's some organic growth in there as well. But the way to look at it is their margins were much higher than anticipated, nearly 2% more than expected. That is, again, reinforcing corporate America has been able to date, pass on tariff rises, maintain or grow their margins because there's a resilience for the US economy, hence that delayed interest rate sort of rate cut. So Ansell is a good example of how things are going through this tariffs if you can steer it in the right direction. And that's been a good result today. Another one very quickly was an announcement by Santos, obviously energy producer in Australia. Woodside's much bigger, but Santos has delayed its due diligence as a DD with ADNOC out of Abu Dhabi with their potential takeover, and they pushed it out to the 19th of September. What's very important about this is that Australia does need capital to come in and invest. It's a high cost environment to do exploration and to complete these projects in mainland Australia and PNG. Costs a lot of money. So from Abu Dhabi, which has got much higher credit rating, like six credit notches higher, their cost of capital much cheaper. Weighted average cost of capital will go down in a merged entity. So that would be a good result if they can do a deal with the South Australian government and the federal government to get it through, because they'll be able to get those projects completed and create some value for that for those shareholders coming from offshore in the UAE, being Abu Dhabi. So that pushback and delay is probably a slightly positive sign that that merger may go ahead, because we do need that capital to invest for the future decades.
Generally, how would you rate reporting season so far? We're really coming up to the final week now.
I'll quickly give two report cards. The US, again, it's quite a resilient, strong reporting card from the quarterly reporting that recently was completed. Outside of the major technology companies that's doing a lot of the AI investment, valuations do drop away, and there is some good value in there in broader North America, so that mid-cap can benefit there. So resilience in North America with 10% earnings growth into its fourth year, mature late-stage cycle. So very good relative to expectation. In Australia, it's reasonable, but all the heavy lifting of the banks and some of the big mining companies and energy companies, there is a lack of good guidance in the private sector for investment. Hence, we need that private capital for the Santos deal as an example. We do need global capital. We need global savings to extract our minerals and energy for obvious reasons. But generally, when you look at the large companies, it's reasonable. But a lot of misses and a lot of cautious CEOs for the smaller companies with guidance, because outside of the government spending footprint in Australia, it's very difficult unless you're in a unique export market.
And finally, what are you telling your clients right now? Where do you see the opportunities for investors?
Well, investors are broadly happy with obviously the overweight to US equities, global equities. But what we're saying at the moment is that Europe is quite weak. Europe has got some issues in there, but that's why there's got a 2% cash rate and a lot of stimulus coming. We believe there's a lot of re-rating from cheaper valuations in core Europe. Also, broader Southeast Asia seems to be the beneficiary as well. And then we also encourage people to look at income products as well, given the rally in equities have been so strong. So to look at some good quality investment grade fixed income or bonds.
That's George Baboulis there from K2 Asset Management, wrapping things up for this Monday edition of the podcast. Tomorrow, profit reporting season continues. We're expecting to have a couple of CEO interviews, so make sure you join us then. And don't forget, if you do enjoy the podcast, give it a rating or review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and to click subscribe. See you tomorrow.
This SBS on the Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only and should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and it does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision. This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.